بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One of the greatest qualities a mu'min has in him is always in search of looking for his faults. Always in search of looking for his faults. It's very easy to look at faults others. But more important is to look at your own faults. If you begin to look at your own faults, it's part of iman. A part of iman is one has to always look at his own faults. This quality we don't have in us. And it's obvious that the person who does not have that quality in him, then we call it a sick person. A sick person. A sick person. Because not prepared to listen to him, look at his faults at all. And it's very important to make an effort to always keep your heart free from all flaws and defects. Keep your heart free from all flaws and defects. Now it's obvious if you have the concern, then you begin looking into your heart and see where are the defects that I have in you, the flaws that I have. The clothing that you have, you wear. It's like a mark on the clothing, you can't see it. You want to make sure you see it. Your car also notices this, but there's got a small mark there, so you're concerned about that mark. That you want to keep your car as clean as possible. But these are outward things, you know. It's not really got any contact with you at all. But you notice that man pays so much attention to those things. Even a mark on a body thing. You make sure that that mark will not be there. The big mark is the flaws in your heart. The defects in your heart. That is what you're supposed to clear to make it pure. Because if you don't keep it clear and pure, then that heart, Allah cannot come into it. Because the heart is only for one person, that's Allah. This heart is for no one else. And Allah cannot only enter into that heart which is pure. So those flaws, what are the flaws? What are the defects? Man has to come to a point now to understand, you came, mashallah, so what a big thing you came. You know what a big thing that you're leaving everything to come. Allah is clear at that. The witnessing that you came here, definitely to put yourself right. So what? The flaws that you see in you, that pride that you have in you, the greed that you have in you, greed for the love, for the world. Love of the world in your heart. That animosity, that jealousy, that anger that you have in you, that's all that in you, those are all flaws. Did we work toward looking at it that where there are flaws? Do I have those things or not? That's why he said that a mu'min, a mirror to another mirror, to another mu'min. That mu'min is a mirror to another mu'min, that he sees your fault, you see his fault. That's a concern. If man 24 hours look at his own faults, he become a body. Because he wants to try to put himself right. Be concerned of putting others right. First put yourself. Become of that kind. You know Imam Ghazali in the saying, that first of all, it's obvious you cannot see all your faults. But someone else can see. You cannot see all your faults. But someone else can see your faults. Now those faults is something you have to ask, you have to get someone to see. Now you can do. In these times, you have to have a friend who can advise you on your faults. But Imam Ghazali says, in these days you cannot get a friend also. He's mentioning that time. They cannot get a friend today. Because either he'll be a flattering person, he'll flatter you, he won't tell you a true story, or he's a jealous person. Because if you ask a friend, you know, I'm going through this condition, I'm going through that condition, and if the condition is very good, he may get jealous. So he said, what the best thing is to ask your enemy? Ask your enemy. Because the enemy is one person, you know, not what is good of you. You'll always take out of your faults. And at least when he gives you a fault, accept that fault with a smile. One Buzu was walking past, one person told him, "What is it? You've got so much pride in you. You've got so much pride in you." He did not have pride in him. But when that person said, "You have pride in you," what did he say? He smiled and said, "No doubt you recognize me. You recognize me? Yes." Yet this is that man who doesn't have that in you. In other words, when a person takes out your fault, take it with a smile. Take it. Do not prepare to take respite. The moment that person tells you got this fault in you, begin to answer it, get and check. Trying to prove that you're wrong. And the wife is not a very good partner too, not all the time. But when she tells you that, accept it also. Accept the smile. She'll tell you, "No, you got this thing, why you spoke like that?" You rather ponder upon what she said instead of backtracking. Anyone tells you something, then you spoke like that now. Why did you speak like that? Instead of giving an answer, which is not a good thing to do, you have to ponder this person told me that this is right or wrong. Now, for example, the wife tells you, "Why that pride in me? Why you spoke to me like that?" Now ask yourself, is she right or wrong? Instead of fighting with her and creating a problem with her, she can be a guide to you to become a better person. Or your father, your son, your own brother, your son can tell you too. That you, "Dad, you did this thing here. You're not supposed to do like that." But now you have to answer it because, "No, my son, how can you tell me?" Or a small person tells you something. Then you, instead of accepting your fault, what you do? You begin to bypass him or take off again. That's not in Islam. If you want to really reform, if anyone takes out your fault, you begin to ponder upon a made mistake. You spoke really loudly. Why you spoke? You had pride in there. What? In other words, you should like this. So you, if you have that quality in you, then you must know that that is a quality which you want, which you begin to ponder and made a mistake. And when you make a mistake, you begin to put the mistake right. But if you do not make a mistake, you won't make anything right. So this is a very important thing. Do not look at a giant that you need and then you not accept it. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, one person was riding a bicycle very, very fast. So he told his son, "Why riding like that? You fall." He said, "If I fall, no problem. If you make a mistake, the whole Allah will fall." So he did not take it as a small thing. He took a very big thing. He took a lesson from it. So if you want to take a lesson and the ponder of your life, and someone tells you, "You made this mistake," instead of fighting that person, no matter who that person may be, whether it's their enemy, whether it's a friend, or their wife. And the wife, is, I always say that she's the best friend. Because she's the one that will take out your fault. And she does always do it because she does not want to become disgraced outside. But instead of accepting her, what you do? You ride her. You run her down completely. So this is the one thing very important, Ghazali says. That one has to always look at his faults with a smile. Possible that, you know, and if anybody takes up, then you know that is one thing to understand. One thing to understand. Isa alayhi salam, when the people oppressed me, "How you got these wonders of the, in your life?" Got wonders, all the wonders in your life. If I learned to look at the faults of people, I saw that person, he was a very big rich person, and how he wasted his money, and wasted all his money, he lost his money. I said, "That is how his life was, that I will not make the same mistake. I will not make the same mistake." Likewise, I saw some people where they dream, they were drinking. I'm giving that example. And you were a very rich person, look at them dream. So everything that you come to realize, you make a mistake, you see, that person now will become, you know, this paralyzed. If you look into his life, making you, you know, hitting people, causing harm to people, you name Allah Ta'ala put in that position. So everything that you will look at and take a lesson from that person. A rich person was very, very rich. All of a sudden he became, he lost everything. Now you begin to ponder, look, what was the reason for him to become a pauper now? Why he did, what he lost? I think because of this thing here that he may misuse the money, he did not use the correct way. Do you know something, one of the biggest things today is light, it's not light, like you say, no sharing. Light, one sahabi. He went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Ya Allah, I'm a beggar, please I want something." Nabi Karim did not like anyone to beg. I'll give him something to do, they must do. However, he gave him one letter and told him, "Go to a certain sahabi and give him that letter." It's obvious whose letter is coming from. When he went there to give the letter, he's telling his wife, "The light is too big, make it short. You understood what I'm saying? The light is too big. He thought to himself, he's talking, let everybody give me. Listen to me very carefully, because we are today extravagant in lights. We leave the light on and on, thinking one Allah won't question us. You use what you're supposed to use. No matter how rich you are, you're still supposed to be used as well as how much you were supposed to use. Not most, not that. People don't understand that. It does not mean you've got a big mansion, you keep the lights on everywhere, because you think you are someone. You have to use it the correct way. You have to correct it. And you teach at home too. So we put the lights, you know. Knocked at the door, he says, I want you to go. You see, he came from the week, because he gave a letter. Listen there. You know what he said? Tomorrow my shipment is coming, what is given to you? You and I can't do that too. No, we can't. But he said, the shipment that's coming tomorrow is going to give it to you. He got surprised. He said, what do you mean? Yes, that's completely true. But when I came home, I saw your house, you said that put the light low. What is it? He said, that is extravagant. Allah Ta'ala gave me that much, I can use that much. Why am I going to use more than that? Now we do not understand. We do not understand when I haven't got that. I said the other day, I know. Every moment you must learn to, you must not become a miser. Miser is not something that one is miser and one is to be extravagant. Now you can know that room, but no one is sitting in that room. What are you supposed to do? The light will be off. Not it will be on. It's because you've got a lot of money. Money is today, tomorrow Allah can take it away to Allah will protect us. People don't understand this thing. Everything that you do. So that is also an advice. You tell someone, what do you live in life for? So what about it? Because he's not prepared to listen. Faults are very lot of faults we have in us. Until unless we do not put our faults right. So Isa Islam said this much, that I learned from others the harms that caused to them, that I must not make the same mistake. Anyone will hear to that person like this, he has bad qualities in him. You're not talking anybody with bad qualities. Now you can know the outcome of it, this is what happened, they will not make the same mistake. There's so many people that lost their businesses because they were so extravagant to that point that they lost everything. Now they became that position. Allah must save us from that. So do not become, because Allah gave you something, to extravagant, to misuse it. Do not misuse anything. So that's advice given to everyone. So to trigger faults, Isa Islam said that. And he says this much, that always remember that do not take yourself as pious. Do not even have the slightest bit of a pious person. One is a thought just coming in, but you're not happy with the thought. But do not ever take yourself as a pious. Because the moment you take yourself as pious, that person is not going to be pious, but what is going to be? He's a foolish person. A foolish person. A person who takes himself as a person to a pious is like a foolish person. But a person who thinks that a sinner. Remember one thing, someone tells you a sinner, yes, you are a sinner. Who is not a sinner? We all are full of sins. If only through Allah forgiving us and not allowing us to commit the sin again, so we must be happy with Allah, take Allah. It must not be you go back to those sins. We are very fortunate that the sins that we are committing, Allah forgave us because not going back in. And who is stopping us from committing that sin? Allah Ta'ala. So we must be careful that we really not to say those kind of things. So a person who says that he is a sinner, he is the person who is most intelligent. Every time. You know, that's why when you begin to pray for great people, you know, Nabi Kareem said the greatest quality he had in him is what up here. To be humble. Humility. Humility means a person always being, I am nothing. When you go to call it humility, you admit, I am nothing. No matter all you got in the world, I am nothing. That person who feels my namaz is something, that namaz is nothing. But that person who says, I read namaz, I don't know how to read namaz, it's only to the grace of Allah, Allah will say namaz. He'll get something. Because he takes his namaz to be nothing too. Because how Allah Ta'ala wants your namaz to be your ibadah, it cannot be how he wants it to be. It cannot be how he wants it to be. No one can say, after you read your namaz too, you look at your fourth of namaz, it's only through his grace Allah is accepting the namaz. Everything that you look at it, there's no such thing as you think yourself, So that person is a foolish person who thinks himself this much, that I got it. So the foundation to go against one's nafs is very important. The mood to go against nafs is very important, because everything that is happening to you is because of the nafs. Everything. For example, I tell you, you get angry, it's because of your nafs. Anything you do, the nafs is the biggest enemy, isn't it? And once that love of the nafs goes very strong in one's heart, it becomes very difficult to come out of that. The love of the nafs must not come in you. That anything that you do, it must not be for your nafs. Today I woke up of Fajr namaz, my nafs told me to wake up, I woke up. Tomorrow the sweet nafs not telling not to wake up, I'm not waking up. You're not waking up for the sake of Allah, you're waking up because of nafs. Like that, whatever charity you do, your nafs comes today, I must give it. Tomorrow you will not say you don't have not to give you that, you follow what you follow. Do not become slave of a nafs. Because once you become strong in you, then everything your nafs wants, you give it in. And the most dangerous thing is your whatever your nafs asks you, do not do it. My husband one day told us, a poor man, he got no money, he is a beggar. Now his nafs telling him, hey, you know what, only eat sweet meat. Only eat sweet meat. Not because he's a pious person, he says, he's now telling his nafs, you're not my Allah. So I'm not going to follow you. You're not my Allah. He's carrying on saying that because nafs is strong, you know. Hey, why don't you? Get steal money to buy sweet meat. Get something, you steal the sweet meat. Nafs is so, you'll be surprised. Steal because he's telling you, not my Allah. I won't follow you. So some people will listen to him say, they could father love me. They ask him, what's he doing? What are you talking like that for? He said, yeah. One intelligent person that he's asking me. He said, my nafs is telling me, sweet meat, I cannot. I've got no money. So I'm telling my nafs, you're not my Allah. I won't follow you. So that's why I'm telling you that I'm look. We are look. Likewise, one person, he wants to eat certain things for nothing. So he went to the garden. You know, they put you there, horses with the animals go around to throw water out and all. He told that person, I'll take that place. He took the whole day he went. You have enough one to eat something. He said, don't worry, I'll make you eat. But not like that, not free. You must go through hard times. So he made him sit down and then he said, go in life. End of the day, got paid. He said, nothing, please, I don't want that kind of money. So you put up nothing into hardship, then you get to somebody else. Not just like that. That who's telling us, husband is telling us. Don't put up nuts that he must be control you. You must control your nuts. The control of the nuts is very important. You do not know the control of nafs is so important that at all times you have to be very careful that you don't lose your control, because that is the, you know, the main thing. You have control of one's heart and nafs is ibadah. You have control of that. For example, I'm telling you, you've got no money in your pocket. Now you've got a, you know, credit card there. Credit card. And that you own for you. You buy the pass, you know, red now, not green. You go there, you know, buy the thing. You don't need the thing. But why? My nafs telling me, let me buy the thing. You bought the thing. What have you done? What have you done? That is the control. This is what it means. That when you eat something, you finish it, day after you eat more than that. But the nafs tell you not to do it, you still do it. That's what the nafs ask you. So that inclination is there. And remember one thing, the most important thing is the islah of your nafs. Islah of your nafs. And the thing that's very important is anger. Anger. Greed. Greed. Pride. These are the few things that are very important in one's life that he must try to put it right. That he must not become, that he must fight to put that right, that nafs. The nafs will tell you, I'm going to fight with that person. No, I'm not going to fight. Your nafs will tell you, do not talk to your wife. Your nafs tell you that, I'm not. Your nafs will tell you, do not talk to your father and mother. I'm not going to follow you. My nafs will tell you, you swear that person, I'm not. My nafs will tell you, get anger. This is what nafs will teach you, that do not become a slave of the nafs. The nafs will follow you, not that you must follow nafs. I don't want to talk to that person because he spoke very badly to me. What's the meaning of that? That means your nafs have overtaken you in every way. My nafs won't forgive, I won't forgive you anymore. No, that's my nafs telling me, I forgive. Every sunnah of Nabi Kareem Salman in our lives, he has forgiven people. You know something, what under he underwent persecution and harms. But yet when he forgave everyone, we have to have that quality. That one Muslim, you know, that person came to kill him in a knife. When he came near him, Allah Ta'ala put his heart, this person will harm you. He told that person quietly, if you want to harm me, come and harm me. I know why you came for. He began to shiver. And he said, yeah, but you can take a knife and kill me. He said, you did not harm me. How about us harm you? When you did not harm me, what will happen? In other words, these are the qualities that are having us. They're not, man, not overtaken. But we are only, you know, it's sad that we are only, you know, we call it slaves of our nafs. Whatever nafs tells us to do, we do. If they're not good, we not do. If you go there to do anything, any law for nothing, we want to go for Umrah, nafs saying that it's not supposed to go. It's not supposed to go. It is nothing left. If you do not go, nothing wrong, you won't lose anything. But no, my nafs say must go, that's why. My nafs. You understand? Many times, you know, the money could be used for many other good purposes. But you leave it out and you go for your purpose, for my nafs say. Do not become a slave of your nafs. Become the slave, the nafs of your slave, not your slave. And you must remember one thing, the foundation of Islam is against nafs. Against nafs, that's the foundation. Once Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told the Sahabas, you came from jihad, the Sal-Azghar, a small jihad. You know, outside when jihad war, he said, it's a small jihad. You have come to a very big jihad now. Listen to this very carefully. You have come to a very big jihad. Just as they went out from jihad, they fought and came back. He told them that now you are in a very, very big jihad. Very big jihad. Ya Rasulullah, big jihad. What it means by that? That to go against the nafs. Don't let your nafs get near you. Listen to this very carefully. Don't let your nafs get near you at the time of calamity. At the time of calamity. At the time of hardship and trials. How nice he said it. Do not let your nafs come near you. Keep your nafs, distance yourself from the nafs. This nafs is the thing. Keep yourself distant away from your nafs. This nafs will come to bring you more. You're going through any trials, no matter what trials, you're going through some difficulties in your business. And you're going through some hardship. It's what happened, that business is going through a hard time. And now you know something that stop the shaitan and nafs saying, never mind, let's use the wrong route to put ourselves right. Now you follow your nafs and you do the wrong thing, and you get gonna die. Likewise, you know, you are tested in any way, someone comes to you and talks in a very harsh manner, swears you, vulgar everything, but not tell you, you take a reward. Take him to task. He is told taking you, that is what you call. At the time of trials, at the time of hardship, at the time of difficulties, at the time of all these things, difficulties are trials, the doctor says, you know what I mean, there's no way you can be surprised. Only thing they can do is, you must go do this, which is something haram. And when you go do that haram, then nafs will tell you to do it, you don't do this. In other words, your trials and tribulations at that time, and difficulties and tests you're going through, they're all kind of tests you get. All kinds. You can take all the examples you can have. All the examples. That's how the person is divorcing wife too. The wife says something very bad, and nafs, give a divorce. Khalas, you give a divorce and nafs, you regret all your life. So, this is what I'm trying to say to you, is that Imam Ghazali says that at the time of difficulties and hardship and trials, at that time, at the time of distress, keep your nafs distance. Distance yourself from nafs. It's very easy to say, very easy to do. Keep your nafs at distance. Eating food also. You ate food a certain amount. You ate nicely, you have nice custard cake now. There's no place in your stomach, your eyes, they've got place in your eye on it. And then you start eating that. That is called now allow your nafs all day. Allow your nafs. In every way it must be the distance your nafs a lot. My nafs telling me I mustn't talk to that Muslim. Your nafs is telling me distance and then you talk. Let me talk. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says this much. That he is your enemy. Your nafs is your enemy. You think your nafs is your friend. your nafs is your enemy at the time, in the day, and will, on the day of Qiyamah, he will curse you. On the day of Qiyamah, your nafs will curse you. And what does you know that that extent that every part of your body will curse each other. Every part of your body will curse. But just imagine, the same nafs you try to keep happy and to go with Allah, Allah Ta'ala, this outcome, what's the meaning of that? Oman. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. Allah Ta'ala says, if you act in front of the fate of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. A woman invites you to commit a wrong, at that time you become, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. I go against my nafs, I won't do it again. Allah will Jannah, only in Jannah. Your business dealing so you know you've been through hardship and someone tells you to the wrong route. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ. Go against your nafs, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ. I do not talk as Muslim because he caused harm to me. When nafs is telling you, one hand nafs. Fa'inna al-jannah. Against your nafs is most important. Be against your nafs at all times. Do not make a nafs saying, let me delay my namaz. You know, I'll read afterwards. No, Allah. Everything. So your nafs is something is your biggest enemy. Your biggest enemy on a day of Qiyamah you'll come to know. Allah Ta'ala must protect us and keep us away from the tricks of Shaitan and tricks of our nafs. Wa akhudan, alhamdulillah.